Luke, the pastor, is going to come and preach in a little bit. But before he comes, we're going to read from 1 Peter. We're going to read the whole of the first chapter and then the first few verses of chapter 2. So please do have a Bible open in front of you or have it on your phone. And we're going to start reading from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in his last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this was the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As Luke comes to preach, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your pure, powerful word. And as we spend some time reflecting on what your word says, please would you strengthen us, would you change us? Father, thank you so much for Luke. He's not feeling that great this morning, so please would you strengthen him as he teaches us. And please be at work by your spirit as we listen carefully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together in this way. It's lovely to see lots of you contributing there on the live chat. Please keep encouraging each other in that way. And keep your Bible open as well as we turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. New year, new you. I don't know if you have made any New Year's resolutions this year. Lots of people do. You can see that in the number of adverts around at the moment for things like health and fitness and giving up smoking and alcohol-free drinks and all of that kind of thing. New year, new you, they say. But then about this kind of time of year, a couple of weeks in, we start to get lots of jokes around on social media, lots of sermon illustrations as well about how we've already failed with our New Year's resolutions. The warm bed was more tempting than the icy early morning run. The burger was better than the salad. You see, nothing actually changed between December the 31st and January the 1st. Sure, we are onto a new calendar. The date has ticked up by another year. But nothing inside has actually particularly changed that would drive a genuine, lasting shift in lifestyle. It might be 2021, but to be honest with you, burgers still taste better than salad. They just do. A new year doesn't automatically create a new you. But the Apostle Peter wants to introduce us to something that does, something that necessarily drives real and lasting change, something that really does create a new you. We're picking up in 1 Peter chapter 2, just the first three verses today. In 2020, we spent some time in 1 Peter chapter 1. Which could be summarized by this phrase, new birth, new you. New birth, new you. We saw that Peter, who wrote this letter, was a witness to Christ's sufferings. He had a front row seat for the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus. This ordinary fisherman had his life completely transformed. Saved by Jesus and then sent by Jesus with the authority of Jesus. And so he's written this letter to scattered exiles, to Christians around the world who are hashtag not at home in this world, who are suffering, who are under pressure and persecution. And he's written this letter to help us to keep going and to live holy lives as we keep our eyes on the prize, even through suffering. And so to do that, he's introduced us to this idea of new birth, new you. He wants us to see that what has been done for you shapes what should be done by you. You might remember from last year, he launches straight into this incredibly rich buffet of blessings in the first few verses of chapter 1, describing all that God has done for us in Jesus. How through his death and his resurrection, he has given us this living hope into a salvation that we receive simply by believing in him. And he describes this hope as new birth. He describes all that God has done for us as new birth. You can see that in verse 3 of chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but through the word of God. New birth. And it's this new birth that creates a new you. You see, God has done something massive in us. There has been a foundational change. This isn't just a fresh start and some new resolutions. It's not a matter of, okay, now you're a Christian, try your best and you might succeed. This is something as radical as being born. It's the start of a brand new life. New birth creates new you. God's great mercy to us necessarily has an impact on how we are to live. What has been done for you shapes what must be done by you. And so, having laid this foundation of God's great mercy in bringing salvation to us, Peter then goes on to explain how to live out that salvation in God's strength. New birth creates a new you. And that's the logic here in the first three verses of chapter 2. You'll see that it starts with the word therefore. Therefore. We're jumping into the middle of a train of thought. Chapter 2 is not the start of Peter's letter. If it was, then this would just be a surface set of moral commands. Be good, don't be bad. Get rid of the bad stuff, crave the good stuff. So this word therefore is really key because it links these commands back to what went before, the final few verses of chapter 1, which where we ended our series last year. See, Peter has just been talking about all that God has done for us, that verse 23. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And then he goes on to emphasize in verse 24 and 25 that the message of Jesus by which we were saved is enduring. It's imperishable. And then we get to chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, in the light of all of this, oh, here we go. Therefore, in the light of all of this, because you have been born again through the enduring word, because of the undeserved eternal life that God has given you, that you receive simply by believing, because of your new birth, therefore, new you. For the new you, there's some stuff to get rid of and some stuff to get more of. So first, Peter says, get rid of. Look at verse 1 again with me. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Get rid of attitudes and actions that are harmful to others. Again, this picks up from where we left off at the end of chapter 1. In verse 22, Peter commands us to love one another deeply from the heart, to love one another. And if we're going to love one another, well, then we need to get rid of these things, these nasty things, which are the opposite of love. Rid yourselves. It's a word used to describe taking off old clothes. There are certain attitudes and actions which are like muddy clothes that don't belong to the new you. Attitudes and actions that are harmful to others. Let's take a look at them in turn. Malice. Malice, we think of malice as kind of evil intentions. Actually, the original word used here is a little bit broader than that. It really means any kind of wickedness. Do you ever say, do, or think anything that is harmful in any way to someone else? If so, that's what's in view here. And then Peter goes on to give some specific examples of this kind of general evilness or wickedness. And as you read this verse 1, perhaps on first reading, you look at this bad stuff and you think, yeah, that's nasty. I don't really see me in any of that kind of, you know, that's not the kind of stuff that I struggle with. But can we just take a moment under God's word to come under the spotlight, the searchlight, as it were, of God's word, and to let it illuminate the dark corners of our heart, to ask the question, can we see any of this in ourselves? Deceit. That means speaking or acting in a way which hides the truth or misleads others. Perhaps one way that's a particular challenge at the moment is if you're working from home. You might have seen that guy who pre-recorded a video of himself and played it in video meetings that he had for work for an entire week, and no one noticed that he wasn't actually in the meeting. You might not go quite that far, but I'm sure there's a temptation when we're working from home to be slightly less than honest in the way that we do that. Or young people, children, perhaps for you, with your parents, do you ever find yourself saying things that aren't quite true or hiding things from your parents or misleading them in some way? That's deceit. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a particular brand of deceit. Hypocrisy means pretending to be something that you are not. The word is an interesting one that actually has a connection with the word for acting. So in the same way that Will Smith, or we watched a movie with Kevin Costner in it last night, Kevin Costner or Tom Hanks or whoever it is, in a way that they might play a part in a movie, well, so we all know what it's like to put on a show, to put on a mask for others. Again, I think this is a particular temptation online. Much of our life is online at the moment, on social media. It's very easy to say one thing, but behave in a different way. Deceit, hypocrisy. And maybe when they're under the banner of the word evil, the word malice, the word wickedness, you think, deceit and hypocrisy, are they really that harmful? They don't seem to be particularly bad, but actually the Bible says that they are harmful things. They really are a big deal. It is not loving to others to mislead them down a false path. The next word, envy. Envy is talking about another unloving attitude. It's a resentment towards someone else because of what they have, because of what they've achieved, because of what they look like, perhaps. Maybe they've got a really nice house or a good reputation, a successful career, amazing clothes, lots of followers. It could be all sorts of things. And rather than being thankful for the good that other people are enjoying, rather than being thankful for them, you want it for yourself, and it becomes envy. And envy quickly then slips into slander, the last word on our list, slander. Now that's any kind of speech that damages a person's reputation. And isn't it just so easy and so interesting to share information that you don't really need to, or to tell a gossipy story? It feels good to paint someone else in a kind of negative light because then we feel better about ourselves, but it's not loving. Love seeks the good of others, but all of these things here in verse 1 are attitudes and actions which are harmful to others. Rid yourselves of them. New birth, new you. Peel them off like you would peel off those muddy clothes. But these attitudes and actions are things that run really deep. They are ingrained in us. I mean, if you do have to peel off muddy, wet clothes, that's really hard work. So how do we do it? How can we rid ourselves of these harmful attitudes and actions? Well, that brings us on to the second thing. Get rid of this stuff as you get more of something else. Verse 2 and verse 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. What's the flip side? Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, you might remember this was our verse for the year, last year, 2020, and so we won't go into quite as much detail today, but the basic idea is very clear. The pure spiritual milk is the message of Jesus. It is the word of God. The word that brought us life is the same word that helps us to grow, just like milk enables babies to grow up. You might remember at the beginning of last year, as an illustration, I held in my arms a baby. It was Rosanna McLean. The McLeans were with us that week. And Rosanna was, I think, just about 3 weeks old. She was tiny. And we talked then about how milk would help this tiny little baby to grow. And look at her now. Here she is at 1 year old. Milk has caused her to grow and to become strong. I wonder, as you look back over this last year, can you see noticeable growth, just like with Rosanna? Can you see growth in yourself? I'm not just talking about lockdown weight that you might have put on. I mean, spiritually, can you see that you've grown in your love for the Lord Jesus? Growing as a Christian is not an optional thing. That's why we need this book. We need this wonderful message of Jesus. This precious, life-giving word is how we were born again, and it is how we grow up in our salvation that we have been given. And so just like babies scream and cry until they get what they need to grow, we should have that same desire for the nourishing goodness of the word. New birth means new you. We have new desires for the word. But what I particularly want to see today is the connection between these verses. Getting more of this pure spiritual milk is actually part of how we rid ourselves of the harmful attitudes and actions that we saw in verse 1. These aren't two separate statements put next to each other. They're actually still part of the same train of thought. They are two sides of the same coin. It is as we crave more of the pure spiritual milk that we are able to get rid of all of that bad stuff. How? Well, take a look at verse 3. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Drinking the milk of God's word changes your tastes. It changes your taste buds. This week, as Nick referred to, I haven't been feeling 100%. I had to get a coronavirus test. Thankfully, that obviously came back all clear. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here in the church building today. But the reason I had to get a test was because for the first time that I can remember, my sense of smell and taste changed. And that's one of the symptoms of coronavirus. My smell and my taste became dull. I don't think it was just my wife's cooking, although we did joke about that. But they were dull. There were things that I normally enjoy which became bitter and disgusting. I didn't enjoy them anymore. As we taste the goodness of the Lord in his word, something similar happens. The things that we used to enjoy begin to taste bad. Those sweet morsels of gossip. Those smooth lies. That satisfying bit of nastiness. As our taste buds mature, those things don't taste good anymore, and so we begin to spit them out and reject them. You see, something fundamental has changed in us. Eating healthily is a difficult thing, because even in the new year, I still like burgers more than I like salad. New year doesn't equal a new you, but new birth does mean a new you. Jesus is changing us so deeply through his word that even our desires and our tastes begin to change. new birth, new you. Because we have been given new birth into eternal life through the enduring word of God, therefore we love one another. And we love one another by getting rid of harmful attitudes and actions as we get more of the pure spiritual milk of God's word. So let me invite you again at the beginning of a new year to drink deeply of this milk, to get some more of this, to taste the Lord's goodness. We won't ever be able to rid ourselves of all of that bad stuff. We will never be able to grow in love if we just rely on our resolve. Jesus isn't just giving us a fresh start and telling us to give it a good go this year. If your hopes of change rely on your best efforts, and just like with New Year's resolutions, you will fail and you will give up and you will get discouraged. The only way we can get rid of all of that nasty stuff is as we get more of Jesus, as we discover more of the beauty and the goodness of our Saviour. And so dive into his word. Take a good long draft of Jesus. Look at his love. Praise him for his purity. Marvel at his mercy. Come to his cross. Rejoice in his resurrection. Sing of his salvation. Glory in his goodness. We're going to do that now as we sing together a song about the holiness, the beauty of our God. The chorus invites us to come and to behold him, to adore him, to love him. And so let's do that. You're at home, so you're able to sing as loud as you can. I hope you do. That will help you to engage with God's word as we sing of the glory of our God together.